This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman in studio. We'll have a report from Tyler Donaldson this morning as well. President Donald Trump used the Great American Agriculture Celebration at the White House to highlight trade gains and policy changes aimed at supporting U.S. farmers.
Thanks to our trade deals, you're now sending over $40 billion in American soybeans to China. I want to thank President Xi of China because we had a deal at 20, and I said, could you do me a favor? It's a big place. Could you double it? He said, what are you talking about? I said, could you make it 40 instead of 20? And he overrode all of his people. He said, all right, I'll do it. And he got 40 instead of 20. So now you go out and buy bigger tractors. What can I tell you?
Trump also emphasizing his administration's focus on improving trade conditions rather than direct payments to farmers.
Our farmers and agricultural producers do not want handouts. They really don't. The farmers come to my office a lot, and they just, sir, please just give us a level playing field. Others want more than that. They want everything. The farmers want a level playing field, and I talk about it all the time. That's all they want, because you were just the first last 4 years, 4 years before this one, before our great first year. Our great first year, we have records in so many categories, but during the past administration, you were treated really badly, and you were treated badly by the world because you had nobody that cared about defending you.
The president also calling on Congress to pass a new farm bill and signaled additional farm support could be included in the next funding package. North Dakota Farm Bureau President Val Wagner in attendance on Friday said that event brought some much-needed optimism to agriculture.
Well, to me, it was an amazing celebration of agriculture and just an opportunity to hear some positive news when it seems like the news lately hasn't been positive at all for agriculture. So it was just refreshing to hear some of the changes and some of the new things moving forward that we've been working towards and looking forward to for a long time.
Wagner says one of the biggest takeaways was hearing recognition for what farmers truly need from policymakers.
I was excited to hear about the biofuels and the E15, some of the new things coming that way. I'm looking forward to hearing more and reading more about that. And then, of course, when he's talking about some of the changes that were made, like state taxes and different things like that, it was just great to hear those things. Most importantly, though, just when he talked about farmers wanting to have a level playing field and not looking for just emergency funds and things like that, I was so grateful to just hear administration understand that we're not looking for anything in particular. We just want a level playing field.
Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association Treasurer James Nelson, also in attendance at the White House celebration, said it was a very memorable experience.
I got to come out here and being on the White House lawn with the president and Secretary Rollins speaking, and it was almost a surreal experience. To be that close to the president, plus being that close to the White House, and being with one of the largest groups of farmers out front of the White House on the South Lawn was definitely a surreal experience.
Despite the excitement of the event, Nelson says sugar growers dealing with some serious economic challenges tied to global competition.
Right now, I would say the single largest thing is the subsidized sugar coming from other countries. We can't, we're probably the best farmers in the U.S., considering growing sugar beets and all other crops. But the U.S., we can't compete against foreign government. And it's impossible to do that. And the foreign sugar coming in right now has dropped the market 42%. And I guess I go to a lot of meetings. And if something doesn't get done quickly, I think we're going to lose a lot of sugar beet growers around the whole United States, not even just our area. But it's sad to see. I don't want it to happen, and I want my son to continue our farm as a fourth generation.
South Dakota Corn Growers President Trent Kubik says it was a unique opportunity to see ag front and center.
Yeah, it was a pretty incredible opportunity and pretty incredible thing to
to witness, to see so many, you know, farmers and agriculture kind of in the spotlight right there in the south front of the White House. It's pretty special to be a part of it.
Kubik says despite the challenge, he's optimistic about the future of corn in South Dakota.
You know, we're pretty blessed in our state with both ethanol and livestock feed to use our product on. But it's something we need to keep expanding. We're very good at growing it, and we're very efficient at growing it, sustainable at growing it. We just need more ways to use it in ways we know are good for our consumer and good for the American economy.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Well, the Democratic National Committee criticizing President Trump's recent White House agriculture event, saying farmers facing worsening economic conditions. In a statement, the DNC said the farm economy is struggling under the current administration and Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins. The DNC citing federal data showing declining farm income and increasing farm bankruptcies in 2025, highlighting ongoing financial stress across the ag sector. Well, farmers in attendance at the White House celebration say while progress is being made on key issues, more certainty is still needed for long-term planning. Minnesota Corn Growers Association's Tim Weibel says year-round E15 is close, but still not across the finish line.
I've been pretty involved with the Minnesota Corn Growers and on the national teams and so on and so forth for the last 11 years, and certainly we hear a lot about E15 all these years, but yet, you know, all we get is that it is only for one season at a time or 20 days at a time, which this is now again. And we need year round. We need certainty in the market. If we're going to expand this market, we need certainty with our producers.
Weibel says the lack of certainty is also a concern when it comes to the farm bill and long-term planning for the next generation of farmers.
I look at it. I've got a couple of young boys farming with me and stuff like that. And I always think to myself, you know, the certainty is more for them and not for me. At my age, I could move away from, me and my wife both could move away from the farm and be just fine. But that's not what it's about. And the next year of ownership, and that being our sons, and certainly at their age, they do need all that certainty, and those types of things, which farm bills typically bring us.
North Dakota Corn Growers Association member Brian Dean says it was a unique opportunity to be a part of that conversation on Friday.
Well, the encouragement, I think, was that the administration is really on board with the agricultural production side of things to help through EPA and trade deals, the United States, Mexican, Canadian trade issues, things like that that are coming up. They're going to help and push to make sure we get those trade deals done.
Dean says input costs remain a concern heading into planting, especially for those who haven't secured fertilizer.
You know, I was surprised when I visited with people in the north central part of our state that some are, but, you know, nobody ever really books 100%. You know, that 50 to 75% was done by many. There was a fair amount of that hadn't booked any and that were waiting. There's a problem, you know. Everybody's going to have that hurt in the pocketbook when they have to get that last bit of fertilizer or actually get what they need. There's going to be a change in rotation, too. You're going to see more pulse crops.
Farmers around the country gathering at the White House for that big event Friday brought the industry front and center on the national stage, and Black Gold Farms founder Greg Halverson says it was certainly a memorable experience.
No question about it. I felt honored to be there. And certainly there was a mixture of different types of farmers from all over the country. And it was a lot of fun. And of course, President Trump was President Trump. You never know for sure what direction he's going to go. And he certainly wandered off script a couple times. And that's what makes him so interesting.
Halverson says while the event was encouraging, farmers are still dealing with real challenges.
You know, I don't know how many times he said, you know, how important the farm industry was to the United States for a whole lot of different reasons. And that felt good to hear that. And now, on the other hand, as I say, farming right now with, you know, with inflation and a lot of things, including fertilizer and equipment, et cetera, could be better, hopefully, you know, and he made the comment a couple of times, the rough spots are hopefully going to be short-lived, and, you know, he's doing his best to turn things around for the farm. Certainly, he's done a lot of things, but there's a lot of things yet to do.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. E15 will once again be sold this summer, but the push for year-round E15 continues. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson reports.
CHS President and CEO Jay Deberton says one of the best ways to help out farmers during such difficult times is to expand markets for their crops.
It's work on two fronts. One is on the trade front to increase opportunities around the world for exports of agricultural commodities, and that many of those that are headed to the Pacific Northwest and to be exported. And we all know what's going on in the trade issues, and we're working those things. The second route is to domestic consumption and trying to build domestic consumption to also utilize more of the crop that's grown here in the United States. Renewable fuels is the first thing that really comes to mind, that kind of at our fingertips to be able to do something near term of domestic consumption. And within renewable fuels, it's ethanol that rises to the top because of the industry that's been built and because of infrastructure that's been built and our ability to, you know, to put it in the gasoline that's sold all around the country.
Deberton says year-round E15 would be a big help.
And what we think is a necessary step to build domestic consumption is to allow E15 to be a 12-month product throughout the country, and we think that, you know, that can have some impact on the demand on the demand for corn. It doesn't solve all our issues, but there is no single answer that solves all the issues. We've got to look for a lot of answers.
Deberton also says it's important for farmers to talk to their representatives to let them know how important year-round E15 is to them.
Well, I think they can do what we're doing, which is reach out to policymakers and make the case.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Oil markets reacting sharply as tensions in the Middle East continue to escalate. U.S. crude prices have climbed back above $100 per barrel, with West Texas Intermediate near 103, Brent crude approaching 116. The surge comes as concerns grow over disruptions in the Strait of Hormuz. Secretary of State Marco Rubio warning that Iran could impose major transit fees on vessels moving through the strait, adding more uncertainty to those global energy markets. Meanwhile, President Trump extending a ceasefire deadline to April 6th, but markets remain cautious as military operations continue to be considered, including potential actions targeting Iran's oil infrastructure. Analysts say the longer the conflict drags on, the higher oil prices could climb. Some estimates suggest crude could reach $200 per barrel if disruptions continue into summer. Taking a look at the markets right now in overnight trade, we're seeing July Minneapolis wheat down 2.5, 6.59 3/4. July Chicago is down 4.25 at 6.11 3/4. May Kansas City, we're down 8.25 this morning, 6.24 1/4. May corn down 0.5 cent at 4.61 1/2. The Dease corn is down 1 3/4, 4.88 1/2. May soybeans up 7 cents now, 11.66 1/4. November up 4, 11.48. Thanks for listening to the Red River Farm Network.